south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
So, here's a weird question. Well, maybe it's not so weird. Hey, Johnny, are there IKEA stores or anything like IKEA stores in Latin America? You know, I like to buy things that are inexpensive and I can assemble myself. I have no problem with that. I'm a do-it-yourself kind of guy. In fact, I used to watch Bob Vila in this old house all the time. Guess I'm showing my age, but feels good when you can build something on your own. Signed, not Bob Vila, Bob. Well, Bob, I guess you are showing your age a little bit. Now there are a million and one do-it-yourselfer shows all over Latin America. Talk about lag time. And when you mention Bob Vila, the grandfather of all those do-it-yourself thumb smashers, what was he, famous back in the 1980s? Actually met the guy and had a cup of hot chocolate with him. Kind of a dunderhead, if you ask me. I had the hot chocolate. He had something completely different. I'm serious. That guy didn't know which end of the hammer to use, but that's another story. By the way, he's a Latin guy. Cuban, and actually was in the Peace Corps in Panama back in the 70s. So that's the Latin connection. After I talked to that guy for a while, I wondered, how in the hell did he get that job? Actually, I do know how he got that job. Listen, if you make it down to one of my expat insider seminars, ask me about it. I'll tell you a good story. Well, thanks to his show and a lot of other dunderheaded do-it-yourself shows up in the States, it only took about 20 or 25 years for the lag time to hit Latin America. And now you see those kind of shows all over the Latin airwaves. Though I've never been in a Latin household where I've seen the ladies or the guys actually constructing do-it-yourself projects they've seen on TV or anywhere else. It's just not a do-it-yourself culture. Why would you want to build a bookshelf, a fountain, or a bunch of picture frames when you can hire a carpenter for $20 a day or have your gardener or maintenance man do it? And of course, the vast majority of Latins, the middle, lower middle class, and poor, that would be about 80% of the population, they're not sitting around watching do-it-yourself TV programs that show them how to install a skylight or a jacuzzi. They don't have a lot of time on their hands, and they definitely don't have the extra money for frivolous stuff. But Bob, not Vila's, question was about IKEA. You know, that is a good question. And by the way, I've never been in an IKEA store. They didn't exist when I left the States 27 years ago. But I do remember, in and around Chicago anyway, they had these stores called Scandinavian Design and Scandinavian Warehouse, all things Scandinavian. That kind of blonde teak and leather furniture stuff was all the rage way back when, remember? Yep, unlike the Chinese garbage you see today. That Nordic furniture was good, solid stuff, but some assembly required. Sometimes a lot of assembly required. Yep, I bought some of that teak and leather stuff too. And when I was assembling it, I noticed that the teak came from the Philippines. And even back then, before people were talking about transnational corporations and outsourcing jobs, I was thinking, wait a minute, they're cutting down teak trees in the Philippines and shipping them to Norway, all cut, routed, joined, and finished. There, they'd assemble it into bland but excellently constructed furniture. You know, 50 shades of beige. Yep, I remember the early 80s well. I was in my beige period. Don't laugh, it was a step up from my late 70s shag carpet period. Anyway, they'd assemble that stuff in some Scandinavian country, then they'd ship it all off to the States. Even then, I wondered, how is that possible? How can that work economically? It really was a weird business model. Well, back then it was, and now you know it wasn't U.S. corporations that invented outsourcing. Looks like it was those tall, blonde Nordic guys did that. But back to that question of IKEA. There are three IKEA stores in Latin America, and they're all in the Dominican Republic, the DR. And get this, in 2010, when they announced they were going to put their first store there, they put out some huge press releases in the local DR papers saying that first store alone was going to create 2,500 jobs. And for that positive report, they got some huge tax breaks. And now, 7 years later, they've got three stores in the DR, and guess what? They have 400 people employed total. So much for extreme optimism, huh? It was really just a tactic to pressure the government into giving them tax breaks. Nothing wrong with that. After all, taxes are just the lifeblood of the cancer we call government. So then why doesn't IKEA, with its 350-something stores in 37 different countries, expand more into Latin America? Well, they've been saying in press releases for the past 5 years or so that they're going to go to Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, and of course, Panama, and Costa Rica. But they haven't. Somehow that doesn't make sense, especially when you've heard me say that first world franchises, when transplanted to Latin America, most often just kick ass. Well, the thing to remember is that 95% or more of all the franchises that have landed down here in Latin America are convenience and fast food restaurants, where the number one business cost is labor, not product. Not to mention, the average purchase is under 10 bucks, and almost every Latin can afford that, if only once or twice a month. While the average purchase price of something at IKEA is well beyond the average Latin person's means. And the fact that real hardwood, handcrafted furniture is available down here for the price of laminated particle board junk coming from China. That's also part of the equation, even though most Latins would rather buy imported stuff even if it's junk. For them, it's prestige to show their neighbors and friends they have the means, or I should say, the credit to do that. That's what it's all about down here, you know. Yes, it's a shame Latins prefer imported junk just because it's imported over high-quality rainforest hardwood that comes from their own backyard. Imagine, they prefer machine-made artificial wood over the real thing, as long as it's got a U.S. or European sticker on it. You know, like, for example, designed in the U.S.? We all know how misleading that is. Which would seem to make IKEA a shoe-in for Latin America, and it's obviously working in the Dominican Republic, but remember, the DR is a vacation hotspot, has thousands of first-world foreigners living there, and hundreds of all-inclusive hotel resorts. In fact, last I checked, tourism is the number two industry there. So yes, just with first-world foreigners alone, IKEA would have a big market. But the average Dominicana? Forget about it. They make 300 bucks or less a month. Now, you long-time listeners have heard me say a number of times that you can bring a franchise down here and it'll be hugely successful, but only if the marketing and brand recognition have landed well before your franchise makes it down. And that all filters down here through product placement ads in first world cable TV and movies and such that make it down here to Latin America and are translated in Spanish. Again, it's about that gringo advantage. The perfect example, Starbucks. Who'd have thought a coffee company could come down from the States, charge four times as much for a cup of coffee than a little cafe or restaurant on the corner, which uses a fresher, better grade of coffee than Starbucks ever had. Well, it's all about the fact that Starbucks is mentioned over and over in TV sitcoms and such, and Latins, well, they believe in swallow all of it. However, in the case of IKEA expanding to Latin America, they have two problems. The first is that only about 5% of Latins can afford to buy that stuff, and they would because they see it on US TV. However, when they find out the store brand's premise is to assemble your own furniture, that's a completely foreign concept to Latin Americans. They've never heard of that before. And the truth is, about 80% of Latin families have a hammer, a Phillips screwdriver, and a bent and twisted regular screwdriver around the house, and that's about it. Probably what most Americans have in their junk drawer, by the way, too. Which is probably why IKEA gives you the two or three things you need to assemble the stuff, right? Now, I said Latin America was not a do-it-yourself culture. It's a fix-it-yourself culture, meaning when things break, they just keep fixing them over and over and over again. You could say, as far as the sweaty masses, which is 80 or 90% of the population, it's a chicken wire, duct tape, and super glue society. They don't do it yourself with new items, like, for example, assemble things from IKEA. In fact, a couple of months ago, I was sitting in a cafe with a couple of Latins, and one of them asked me what IKEA was. And I said, yeah, I have never seen one either, but I'll tell you, you have to assemble everything yourself. And he looked at me and said, I guess that leaves me out. And I said, well, if you buy something from them, just have your gardener assemble it. And he said, well, that would be fine, but the guy can't read. But on second thought, who reads the instructions these days anyway? They just go to YouTube, right? However, the problem is, maids, gardeners, and cleaning ladies don't know what YouTube is either. Oh, their adolescent kids do because they're tuned in, but the parents' generation, they know nothing of YouTube. In fact, about 6 months ago, I was involved in a small construction project, and I was researching methods to waterproof existing cement foundations and walls that were built up against hills and slopes. Because, you know, that's where you're going to get the seepage and the humidity and stuff. And I found a product called Sika 1, S-I-K-A, followed by the number 1, that you mix in with cement, mortar, or grout, completely preventing water, humidity, and moisture from seeping through. Kind of a miracle product, since that's one of the biggest construction problems there is here in Latin America. But you knew that already, right? However, you have to mix it right and apply it in various layers. You can't just mix it up and schlep it in with one shot like you would for a concrete slab or a sidewalk. So I bought a gallon of this stuff and had my maintenance guy test it out. About 20 minutes later, I looked out the window and saw him struggling with the instructions on the label. Like I said, people from his generation in his socioeconomic class can't read very well, or not at all. So I brought him in the house, over to the computer, looked it up on YouTube, and sure enough, there had to be a dozen videos on that product. And you know what? He was stunned. He's been building houses and on construction sites for years and had never seen one YouTube video. Didn't even know what YouTube was. He spent the next half hour watching those little 3-minute YouTubes over and over again. Good thing that three of them were in Spanish. It was as if I'd just opened up a new world to him. The only problem is, he doesn't have a computer, and if he did, he wouldn't know how to search that stuff out anyway. Maybe his kids will, but he won't. So anyway, it'll take something like YouTube to usher in the assemble your own furniture concept. Because, you see, if you think first world people have problems reading instructions, you ought to see how they do things down here in Latin America. Remember the old saying, if all else fails, read the instructions? Well, the saying down here should be, when all else fails, learn how to read. Then maybe read the instructions, or skip all that and go to YouTube. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, wait just a minute. Johnny said they have Sears and Ace Hardware and Costco and Walmart, and they sell a lot of products that need to be assembled, right? In fact, almost everything these days that's being shipped in from China is tightly packed, and you have to do some assembly. Well, here's something I'm sure you didn't know, and it's very good news. Pretty much anything you buy from a Latin American furniture or appliance store that you can't fit in your car, they'll deliver it right to your home, no charge, and assemble it for nothing. And if you buy a washer or a dryer, dishwasher, refrigerator with an ice maker hookup, they'll drop it off and do all the hookups for you too. It's almost always part of their service. But then you might say, well, there's a conundrum here. Johnny, you're always telling us that Latin customer service is non-existent or at best crappy. Well, that's absolutely true, but it's all about selling you the product and getting their hands on your money in the moment. And then, of course, they'll follow through and deliver the product and assemble it. But after that, chances are you've been erased from their memory and they won't respond to you unless you come walking in ready to buy something else from their store. Unless, of course, you're dealing with a first world franchise like Costco or Sears, Walmart, Office Depot, etc. Yes, they will have first world standards. Almost. This is the third world, you know, and old habits die hard. Now, I mentioned when you buy the bigger stuff, you'll get free delivery, too. Unless, of course, you're way out in the boonies, and there might be an extra charge, but it won't be much. Now, you might wonder why that is. Why there's free home delivery almost everywhere in Latin America. It comes from the fact that 10 or 20 years ago, almost no one had a personal vehicle, and 95% of the people rode the chicken bus. Yet even the poorest of Latins would eventually buy a stove or a refrigerator or a TV. So how are you going to get something like that back home on the chicken bus? Well, in most cases, you just can't. Thus, the tradition of free delivery or almost free delivery. So what's almost free delivery? Well, for example, just the other day, I was talking to a gringo who was having a garage addition built onto his house. Now, remember, down here, you don't use stick wood construction. We're talking block and concrete and steel. Heavy-duty stuff made to withstand the occasional shake, rattle, and roll. The entire cost for materials for a two-car garage, around $1,200. Enough to fill a medium-sized flatbed truck. Now, the construction materials supply company was around 15 miles from his house. He said if he would have been within 5 miles of the place, he'd have got free delivery. Instead, he had to pay, get this, $12. Now, I don't know what they'd charge you for delivery up in the States on a load like that, but I have to think it'd be well over 100. Oh, and one more thing about furniture stores sending people over to set up your washing machine, dryer, four-poster bed, whatever. To us gringos, it does seem above and beyond the call of duty, especially since it's free. And you know, many of us gringos feel obliged to tip them. Believe me, if you try to do that, they're certainly going to be shocked and surprised because Latins just don't tip for things like that. It's part of the service. Hey, they'll probably take it, but by the way, that's another reason why Latins love gringos so much. We tip for things that Latins never would tip for. In fact, many times I've been in a car with another gringo driving, a fresh green gringo usually, and we'll pull into a gas station. Suddenly, the little workers in their uniforms are all over the car, checking the oil, fluid levels, and the tires, wash down all your windows, just like service station personnel used to do back in the 60s and 70s, even into the 80s. I mean, why do you think they used to call them service stations? That's pretty much an oxymoron now. Anyway, many a time a fresh green gringo driving has turned to me and said, Johnny, how much do I tip him? And I say, you know what? Anything you want. But no one else ever does. Just the occasional clueless gringo. In fact, when I first got down here, I used to do the same. But I digress as usual. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Talking about IKEA and their much-publicized proposed move to Brazil back in 2010, which they never did. Now, remember, back in 2010 to 2012, Brazil was considered by many of the world's economic experts as the financial power play of the new millennium. The place to be, the place to invest. Even alternative superstar guys like Doug Casey were saying, go to Brazil, Brazil, it's the next big booming giant. By the way, I was a big follower of Doug Casey's, I still read his stuff. But his prestige has taken a hit with me lately. Not completely, but slightly. In that he's pushed three big losers in a row. Brazil, Argentina, and Puerto Rico. Worst of all, for many months he was pushing investments in Puerto Rico. Or at least the people he's got working in his organization, sending all those recommendations and emails to people, were pushing the place and hard. It was about Puerto Rico being a territory and therefore you wouldn't have to pay federal taxes if you incorporated there, amongst other things. But now, you might have noticed Puerto Rico is completely bankrupt and in the tank waiting for bailouts. I mean, the place is an economic wreck. Funny how he and others who were promoting it have quit talking about it altogether now, huh? As they suddenly quit talking about Brazil and Costa Rica, too. I, on the other hand, have been warning expats to stay away from Brazil, Argentina, and Puerto Rico, along with a few others, like Panama, Mexico, and Costa Rica, of course. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back. In fact, I have a cracked crystal ball. It's in the shop right now. Can't seem to find any crystal ball Bondo on Amazon, I guess. Anyway, no matter what kind of reputation some of these alternative media guys have, and some of them have tremendous track records in their own fields, the fact is I can't think of one who's got 27 years living in Latin America. Now, some of them may have visited the Third World quite a few times, even have a house or two, generally in places like Costa Rica or Mexico, but they don't have consistent boots on the ground year over year. And I'll tell you, I have a couple of gringo friends who've got beautiful condos in the Cays of Belize, and they only go down a month or two a year at most. And they've owned those things maybe 7 or 8 years, but I wouldn't ask their advice about anything that's happening on the street level in Belize, that's for sure. They're living in a rich man's bubble. They don't talk to the Belizeans about what's happening in their country. They don't even read the Belizean newspapers or journals, even though the country's language is English. Oh, sure, they share a few polite words a couple times a week with their maid and gardener, but they really have no idea what's happening on the ground with the real people in Belize. But you know, when these guys come back from their month vacation in Belize, back home to Chicago or Cleveland, and they run into people at work or on the golf course or at the gym, whatever, everyone seems interested in a person with foreign holdings like that. It's an adventure, too. And guess who suddenly is the expert on Belize? Why, the guy with the condo. Let's talk to him. Maybe we'll invest down there, too. You get the picture, right? Now, as for me, like I said, I'm not clairvoyant, but I've got one thing going for me. 27 years continuously down here in Latin America. And more than three quarters of it way off the gringo tourist trail, too. And remember, I came down not knowing a lick of Spanish. And yes, the first 5 years I was down, I made a lot of stupid mistakes. Which means there are certain things I can bring to the party that others can't. But where were we? Oh yeah, talking about what happened with IKEA and why they did not invest in Brazil even though they had great expectations. Well, they found out soon enough that Brazil has a 75% import tax on foreign goods. And even though local furniture manufacturers and such face that same problem, they sell mostly goods and manufactured items that were produced within Brazil, so they're not hit with that killer tax. So IKEA, knowing that's the competition they would be facing, along with the fact that Latin Americans are not do-it-yourselfers, well, they smartly stayed out of the market. Not to mention, since 2010, Brazil's become a world-class economic basket case, with 35% inflation. Come on, how can anyone do business under those conditions? So the question is, how many of you out there are invested in Brazil? Or should I ask, what guru do you want to punch in the face for giving you that sage advice? Okay, speaking of customer service, just the other day, I recognized my car needed a brake job. As I hit the brakes, I heard that definite squealing metal on metal. Now, of course, those first metal on metal sounds are just a warning, meaning you better get that fixed within the week. And if you don't, you'll not only have to get new brake pads, but have your rotors turned or replaced. Up in the States, that could cost you an extra $100 to $200. Down here in Latin America, maybe $15. Anyway, here's something you should know about cars. If you live in and around a city, you'll probably be changing your front disc brake pads about every 30,000 miles. And the rear brake pads? Well, this might sound weird, but maybe never. Now, in the States, a new set of front disc pads installed will probably cost you around $150. That's just the pads, not the rotors. And down here in Latin America, if you don't go to one of those big Goodyear or Midas muffler style shops, or the Walmart and Costco mechanic, it'll probably cost you around $30 complete for the front brakes. And if you need your rotors turned, probably cost you another $15. Figure double that if you go to Goodyear, Costco, or one of the first world franchises. Now, are you getting the differential in prices here? Anyway, personal experience, last week, I had my front brake pads replaced. I did them myself. It took all of about 45 minutes. How many listeners out there have ever done that? Changed your own brakes? No big deal. You get a little dirty. Yeah, I know. Young adults and adolescent kids never do that kind of work anymore. But if you're a tinkering type or you come from that generation where muscle cars were all the rage, well, we did a lot of our own auto mechanics and repair stuff. We didn't mind. In fact, we got a certain satisfaction of doing it ourselves and saving the dough. Because there was always a big shortage of dough, at least when I was a kid. Certainly, expats could afford $25 or $30 to get their brakes replaced by someone down here. But some of us just like to do stuff like that ourselves. So anyway, I went to the local hole-in-the-wall car parts store and paid, get this, a whole $15 for my front brake pads. And yes, down here, they have all the parts and supplies you might need for pretty much every modern car. But suppose you had a special kind of classic car, let's say a 65 Mustang, with front disc brakes. You'll probably have to order online from Amazon or Hemmings, and you'll get the stuff down here in a couple of days. But do note that down here in almost all cities, they have brake and clutch remanufacturing companies. What does that mean? Well, you take the old brake pads off, the ones that are worn almost to the metal, and you hand them into one of these shops, and they'll put new linings on them. They can do that in a couple hours. Yep, they're like original, and they're guaranteed too. So how would all those places pop up? Well, before the age of the internet, it took weeks, sometimes months, to order replacement parts from up in the first world. And since brakes and clutches wear out all the time, the niche got filled. Latins are very good at that kind of stuff. And the cost? $10 or $15. And by the way, same thing with clutches. You bring in your old worn-out clutch plate and they'll resurface it for you. Now, of course, up in the first world, almost everyone drives an automatic, so there won't be a clutch plate like that. But down here in Latin America, probably 70 to 80% of cars and trucks are stick shift, and they all have clutch plates that wear out occasionally. By the way, there are many, many hole-in-the-wall mechanic places down here that are dirt cheap. In fact, the guy I use for various things doesn't even have a cement slab. He lays on gravel, believe it or not. He basically works out of a lean-to that doesn't even have walls or windows. Now, that's not to say there aren't a lot of hole-in-the-wall shops where guys do crappy work. It's like anything else in the world. Buyer beware, and you pretty much find the good ones, the satisfactory ones, by hit and miss or by word of mouth. So anyway, I'm no motorhead, but I do a little basic work on my car now and again when it's necessary. By the way, up north, when the poop hits the ventilator, and that'll be really soon, I'll bet you after a few weeks of chaos, your little community, wherever you are, would gladly trade 100 lawyers, psychiatrists, or politicians for one good car mechanic. Or perhaps a box of shotgun shells. By the way, how's your plan B coming? Okay, now for one of those crazy boots on the ground stories that you'll only get to experience if you're down here. And even then, you're going to think, man, did that really happen? If you remember, last week I spoke of a guy that brought his family down after attending my Expat Insider seminar a couple years back. Now, he and his family live in a gated, guarded community, and all their neighbors are upper-middle-class Latins, people with enough dough to have nice houses and nice cars, first world style. Now, since he and his family live way off the gringo tourist trail, as do I, people you come into contact with are not used to seeing gringos. Now that's off the tourist trail. Now do note, if you live in a gated guarded community, everyone who comes into your little subdivision is going to have to go past a guard gate, pull out a driver's license, and stick it in a little slot so a camera can take a picture of it. That's, of course, so the guard can have control over who exits and enters the place. Anyway, he said he had a recent get-together at one of his Latin friend's gated guarded communities, so he pulled up to the guard station, handed his driver's license to the guard. The guard called the owner of the house, as he should do, announcing the arrival of a guest. And the Latin owner of the house said, well, who is it? Then the guard said, it's a gringo named Drivier Lesense. Riviera Lecense, huh? Well, here's the punchline. The gringo, my friend, gave him his Texas or Oklahoma or whatever it was, American driver's license. And of course, for someone who's never seen an American driver's license before, he might just think the name of the guy on that little plastic card was Riviera Lecense, a.k.a. Mr. Driver's License. Now, just a few days ago, when my gringo friend told me this story, he said, Johnny, have I got a funny story for you? When he told it to me, I said, you know what? I think some listeners will think I'm making this up. In fact, there's a lot of stories I don't tell because you'll think I'm making them up. Which is why I advise you come down to my Expat Insiders Seminar to see some of this stuff for yourself. Then you'll know it's no exaggeration. In fact, at times, believe it or not, I'm actually holding back. Oh, and speaking of my next Expat Insider Seminar, it'll be in January 2017. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com. Click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link at the top of the page for full information. We're more than half filled now. You still got a chance to sign up and get in on the early bird discount. So check it out. I don't want to be the one to say I told you so, but if you don't have your plan B in action pretty soon, those kind of preparations will be out of the question because your Uncle Sam just won't let the sheep out of the barn. Just look at how many extra hoops you have to jump through today compared to just a year or so ago when applying for temporary and permanent residency, whether in Latin America or any country in the world for that matter. And even though the vast majority of Latin countries bend over backwards to allow us gringos and expats to live in their countries as permanent residents, meanwhile it's Uncle Sam that's putting up the barriers. Sooner or later, the doors will shut completely. Okay, enough said about that. We're getting towards the end of the show now, and some people have been saying they're getting what they call a monkey survey, a questionnaire asking them about their expat preferences and lifestyle. I did not send that. It's not coming from me. It's just junk mail from Expat Wisdom, a website I used to be affiliated with, who I unceremoniously dumped a while back because, well, they're short on ethics, amongst other things. So if you get anything at all from Expat Wisdom, like, for example, this so-called monkey survey asking you about your life, it's just a data mining operation and ignore it. Just round file anything you get from a site called Expat Wisdom. Okay, last but not least, don't forget to go to my YouTube channel. That would be YouTube/TheExpatFiles, all one word. I think there's something like the last 80 shows up there now. So do check out the photos and slides. And don't forget to subscribe, it's free.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.